Give me warp in the factor of
5, 6, 7, 8.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discussing Trek. We are back to talk Lower Decks, and I have here with me none other than Larry Irby. How you doing, man?
Hanging in there. How about you?
No complaints, man. No complaints. It's been an interesting week, I'll say. Did you see any of the Star Trek Day festivities?
I did. I'm going to be honest. I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, as was I. You know, there are several mitigating factors. We can talk about the writer strike. You know, they didn't have a true writer, I guess, to write the presentation. And you couldn't really have the actors on because there's also an actor strike going on. So very good reasons why it wouldn't be as good as it could be. But it seems like they probably filmed this many months ago when they knew the writer strike was coming.
Yeah, I would say just don't even have it. Because I think... You know, Jerry O'Connell, love him. Slider fan, right? Love that
so
guy.
So good.
But I was just like, it just bore me. I didn't even watch, I think, the end of it.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, as much crap as we give Will Wheaton, he's a better host. But they're both kind of fanboys, so, you know.
I love him with some Will Wheaton now. That's my... Wesley, I told you, Wesley Crusher is my boy. I always liked him from day one, and you know he got all the hate, but that's another video.
We got Wynn Grayson, Mr. Jones in the chat. Hello, all. Thank you for being here. So, Larry, was there anything missing from the Animation Celebration Star Trek Day presentation that we got on the YouTubes in Paramount Plus? Was there anything that kind of seemed like it was scrubbed from the docket?
Wow, I can't think of anything. Maybe Prodigy.
Yeah, man, that was very sad. You kind of saw it coming because it's been such a systematic removal of all things Prodigy from Paramount Plus and StarTrek.com. I guess it may be a little bit more of it still on StarTrek.com, but man, they have scrubbing it from existence, man, like it didn't even exist. So that was, I won't say it was all that shocking, but man, it kind of hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But I will say I did go to the actual viewing of the Lower Decks viewing that they had, the celebration event, and there was Prodigy at the event. You know, I mentioned this in the video that's on the channel. You guys should go watch, but almost the same sequence of trailer that's cut for the YouTube video. It was almost the same exact thing, except it had Prodigy inserted in there in a little section. And so I was quite happy that it was included there, but still feels kind of weird that it's, you know, it was very prominent and in that presentation for the actual event, but it was not on the YouTube. So I think I'm leaning with what you said offline that maybe something really bad went down that we just don't know about because it's very systematic and very thorough. They're like, nah, and we're not having any of it.
Yeah, that's insanely odd. I mean, I've seen tons of stuff in recent years get canceled on streaming, and it still stays on the platform. It doesn't leave. You know, it's just no longer in production. So, something's just not right, but okay.
Yes, it's very weird, man. Guys, we're going to go ahead and get into our review of Star Trek Lower Decks, and we're going to start with the premiere episode, Tuvix, which was written by Mike McMahon and directed by Barry J. Kelly and Jason Zurich. The Cerritos instance must assist a caretaker on the voyage of a historically significant starship.
Spoilers.
Red alert. All hands stand to battle station.
What gives you the right?
You cannot destroy an idea.
At ease, please, Brandon.
No, let them spoil them all.
The spoiler warning has been dropped, and we are back to review this episode. No beats this week, but Larry, I want your high-level thoughts on Tuvix.
Well, as someone who is a really big fan of Lower Decks, I like it when they take little nostalgia pieces and then they do their own thing. It's like, oh, this is where it was. He did the thing here and then they move on. I did not like this episode. I didn't. I just thought like it was just one of those episodes that it was just you basically did what Next Generation was guilty of for the writers and people for the first two seasons of reworking Star Trek, original series episodes. And, I was just like, okay, you basically just doing another version of that episode. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather them just riff on it and make fun of it. Like the only part I thought was kind of funny for me, Clarence, was like, when they said, what did Janeway do? And they said, no, dog, she straight up murdered the dude.
Yeah.
That was funny to me.
Yeah, it was definitely weird how Freeman's was so sure, I'll just do what Janeway did. And she was so sure that she could just do that and everything would be all right. I like that they did recognize that they were not stranded in the Delta Quadrant and just go to headquarters and try to figure this thing out. I do like that they figured that out pretty quick.
That was growth.
Yeah, okay. Well, for me, I don't think my thoughts on this episode are too far off from yours. One of the things that I don't really like about Lower Decks is when you get bombarded with references. And I like the episodes more when they kind of do their own thing, throw a reference in here or there. But this episode definitely was like Voyager porn in a bad way.
Well, it's just like, okay, the whole thing. Like one of my least favorite Voyager episodes, and I'm a huge fan of Voyager. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've ever talked about Voyager a lot, but I love Voyager with a passion. But I'm telling you what, like the microbes, the macros, they go, and then they got assimilated, and I was just like, oh, I could offend you guys at all times. Why are you doing this to me?
To me, it was on par with what Lower Decks does to me on a lot of episodes. They didn't really, well, for this part, because we're going to get into the Tuvix part, which I felt that was kind of original and a good idea. But let's talk about all of the references, the macrovirus thing, the having the the hollow characters come out and wreak havoc. To me, it took a lot of the things that I loved about Voyager and just kind of crapped on them. You know, I could really care less about the macrovirus, but you know, taking these holodeck characters and the whole salamander thing, they tried to pull off every thread from Voyager and stuff it in this episode and make funny. I do like the idea of the Voyager getting hauled to this museum. So great messages in there, but ultimately when you think about like them kind of crapping on all the stuff that happened on Voyager, it kind of made me mad a little bit, if I'm being honest.
Clarence, I'm going to tell you, that salamander thing need to be made fun of.
True.
That was just terrible.
You are not wrong.
Terrible. But I would say, here's the one thing I do with Lower Decks. Number one, I don't say, well, they wouldn't do that. Okay, it's Lower Decks. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
To deal with it. It's a comedy. Yeah. And I'm not going to say, well, that's not how it's a comedy. That is what it is. So I don't apply watching this show, I don't apply the same thing I do when I'm watching a live action show, because I know there's things, because Lower Decks is goofy. They're going to do goofy things. If they did it like a regular episode of another show, I mean, what would be the point?
Well, good point, but I'll come back with this statement. I feel the very short tricks, it's so goofy that to me, there's never a smidget of realism about the plot. I think for me, Lower Decks has just enough of the good stuff that makes me want to think, oh man, this could be really awesome if we just dig in, but then it goes back to the goofy. So with the very short trick, and we maybe talk about that on a different episode, it just goes so left that you never, if at any moment, think that it's like serious, you know?
And here's the sad thing, Clarence, and this is as far as I'm going to get into it. There are certain people that are embracing that and saying, see, it's saying that stuff like this is, you can't say anything. Yeah, that's what, and I was like, oh, really? Oh, yeah. Are you trying to do that? This was a comedy.
Yeah.
It was a purely comedy thing.
You know, spoilers, but that's kind of why I loved it, because to me, it's so left or so out there, not left, excuse me, that's the wrong term, so out there that I never sunk into, oh, this could be a great Star Trek plot. And, you know, so that's kind of where I kind of disconnect a bit on Lower Decks. I'm going to pick up a few comments real quick. Kyle is saying, I have beats. Beats are 2 Vix, 4 Vix, moopsie. Okay, I can go with that. It's pretty impressive. Kyle is also saying, guess what? Loved this episode. Loved seeing Voyager, and that made it good for me. All the repeated references did work on me. Let me add real quick that Voyager was freaking beautiful in animation, man. This 3D quasi-animated rendering.
Nice. Super nice.
Yeah, and when it dropped out of warp, they had these kind of different colors coming off the ship, almost like a 3D effect. It's just beautiful. Loved it so much. And we have a first time Marge in the chat. Hi, Marge. I don't know if we've had you in before. Welcome. Let's get into the part that I liked and I feel was I wish they would have fleshed out more, but I like what they did with it. The whole 2 Vix thing. Now, is it realistic that this one petal from the flower that turned 2 Vix into 2 Vix would come out of this crate and float across the ship to the transporter room? Probably not. But you got to think, in the episode where we have 2 Vix, the original 2 Vix, you have Tuvok and you have Neelix, two pretty upright, level-headed people that combined into one. And the result was a very gentle soul in 2 Vix, from my opinion. Tana is kind of, you know, she's kind of a little bit snarky and can get in your face sometimes. And Billups is, I don't know about Billups. I don't know if he has much of a personality other than being very goofy on the show, but I can see those two mixing and their outcome being very different than what we got with Tuvok and Neelix. So I have to admit, I did like the concept of those guys coming together and taking over the ship. You know, they weren't going solo for what happened before, as you know, they read the logs and they found out that what Janeway did, and they weren't having it anymore. So I kind of dug them trying to create a 2 Vix army. That was kind of interesting to me, and I really would have liked to see that fleshed out more. What did you think of the 2 Vix portion of the episode? And what I'm calling a 2 Vix army.
Yeah, I did. Because it's like when you have a joke and it's funny to start with, but then it goes on so long, it's not funny. Yeah. But then it comes back around, it's funny again. Okay, that didn't happen with me. It started off funny. Oh, they're doing another thing. They're going to combine two. I like it. This is funny. And then they kept doing it. And so I was like, oh, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, they did like they often do. And they just kept on with it.
Like, I love when they go over the top usually. So that's why I say this just didn't work for me on this one. But you know what? Hey, can't hit a home run every time.
Yeah, and a few of the groupings we had Freeman, which is Captain Freeman, Dr. Miglimo. I just like the outcome of them two mixing. It seemed like a cool character. We had Shaborns, we had Swalens, and I think there was one more I don't have written down. I love that Shax was worried about Tiana, because that's his boo thing, and she was mixed up with Billups, and you know he was just weirded out by the whole thing. I thought that was pretty funny.
I don't know if I'm. I don't know if I'm for this relationship. It sounds like Tiana, like Shax and her might have a toxic relationship going on, man.
Yeah, probably so. But it seems like they have fun, so you know, peace to their own.
You like I said, this is Lower Decks. Do not think too deeply into this.
That's, yeah,
it's a joke.
Yeah. So we got the Chaotica. We got the clown, I forget which episode, we got Michael Sullivan, hollow meters all over the ship.
Because I liked Chaotica.
Yeah, he was cool.
The actor who played Chaotica on there.
Was it the real actor that came back? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. It would be cool. I mean, I know, thank goodness he's still with us.
Yeah, but I thought that part was, you know, even though it is kind of crapping on a lot of Voyager, I thought it was fine. And it was cool to see Voyager finally at its resting place as a museum. I thought that was pretty cool as well. We got promotions this episode.
I was happy about that because I did not want to see us going through a speaking of Voyager, you know what I'm going to reference there.
Oh, no.
I don't want to see him.
Not Harry Kim.
bunch of Harrys. I mean, I like that. Like, yeah, let's promote these people. I know they're Lower Deckers, but let's promote them.
hey, man, we were in the Delta Quadrant. There was limited room for promotion on the ship.
This is why I want to see when we get that show, which we're going to get, Legacy or whatever. I don't know this. I'm totally guessing. But if we get that show, I better get some Captain Harry Kim.
Yes. Now, you're a Star Trek Online guy. You see the new content that's coming out for Captain Harry Kim? It may be Mirror Universe. I'm not sure, but I think I saw a promotion that said Captain Harry Kim.
Yeah, well, we've already had Harry.
Oh, you've already had Harry. Okay.
On Star Trek Online. In fact, he leads a mission, and you're basically a backup captain to him. And
that's cool.
A lot, probably more Voyager cast members have been on Star Trek Online than any other from any other show.
Oh, so you had Garrett Wong reprising his role.
Yeah, Garrett Wong. We had we got Janeway.
Yeah, I think I remember Kate Mulgrew. That one. Yeah,
we of course had Jerry Ryan. We had Tim Russ. Tom Paris. What is his name?
Robert Duncan McNeil.
Always forget his name. But we had him. I mean, pretty much. I want to say we got Michael. We got Robert Beltran too, I think.
Cool. You know, man, I am this close to making a video. So my girlfriend has been watching Murder, She Wrote, and we came across an episode that had LeVar Burton in it. And I did some research. Star Trek actors are all within Murder, She Wrote. So I may do a video.
I think Robert Beltran in an episode?
Robert Beltran. Robert Duncan McNeil is in an episode. Kate McGrew is in an episode. It's 7 to 9. I mean, Jerry Ryan is in an episode. A bunch of them are in Murder, She Wrote. Yes.
Yes. That was way. She must have been like 2021 when she did that.
Well, I think it said her appearance was 1995. So I think the show ran from 84 to 96. Because
Jerry
like
Ryan is the same age as me.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. She's both 55, so she must have been in her early 20s when she got that role.
But yeah, it was interesting to see LeVar pop up. And also, well, I'm getting off topic here. What's the husband from Good Times? I forget his name.
James.
Yeah, he was in there as well, the same episode, so... Getting off That's topic. Cool. Getting off topic. We're going to get back on track. Getting back to these comments, Marge says, low, a Tuvix army. Yes, a Tuvix army. Cal is saying, only thing I didn't like was the glob of people, but the combining of random characters, awesome. Yeah, the glob of people was a bit much, and, you know, we're not going to get scientific-y, you know, techno-babble on it, but the way they separate them didn't make much sense either to me. Marge is saying that, have to agree that it was not that funny, although a Freeman mix was fun. And delete the wife joke was good. I don't remember that one. Who said delete the wife? Let me know who said that, Mars. That's pretty interesting. Johnny Fitzhugh saying, it's an absurdity. They proved Janeway did the right thing. They took the combining of people to the extreme, which revealed the morality of putting things back the way they were. Yeah, I agree. They went to the extreme to show that you kind of had the, she kind of made the right decision in the end.
The whole thing with the Romulan, like the little, what's going to be an overarching story, it looks like this year, we got both episodes. We'll talk about the other something. I love the thing with the Tal Shiar.
Yes, that was cool.
That was brilliant.
That was cool.
It's like man, and she's dragging the body bag with the reed. I said, oh my God, this should not be funny, but it is.
It's
funny.
You know, it at the Star Trek Celebrate, the animated celebration, they showed the Wedge Dooge episode. And that's one of my favorite episodes of Lower Decks, period, because we do get to see the other ships. We get to see some of the absurdity of these characters that are so... killers or the Klingons being so much rooted in their rituals, and you get to see some of the absurdity of that. It's pretty funny as well. So I like it whenever we go to another ship and see how they live or how their Lower Decks operates.
That's cool, because I love the fact when we're coming across here and she goes and says, it was probably you, and he says, sir, every day I pray for your demise, but I wouldn't even do that. You know, it's like, yeah, of course. It's almost like the Tal Shiar, like the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
Like they're always scheming to kill the person in front of them in advance, even in the books.
all the other races feel like they're always trying to kill whoever's at the top. It's really, really quite weird.
They even do that in the book. Like, if you read any of the books and stuff, there's one about the Star Trek, what happened to Picard before, you know, when he first takes the thing to relocate the Romulans in that book, which tied into Star Trek Picard. Dude, it's not far off from that joke. I mean, I'm not even kidding.
Wingrace mentions that there is a great amount of crossover between Cheers, Frasier, and Trek 2. I haven't watched a lot of Cheers or Frasier, so yeah, I have to dig into that one. That sounds interesting.
A lot. Two of the best shows ever.
Oh, wow. We have an advocate over here. So, Larry, let's wrap this episode up. Let's wrap up Tuvix's. What is your rating of this episode, sir?
I'm going to have to give this one a 4.
Wow, you were higher than me, and I thought you were down on the episode.
I was going 3.5, but that ending was just so, that little tick kicked it up for me, because the Tal Shiar are one of my favorite things in Star Trek.
Well, but you know that was the next episode, right? The Klingons was this episode.
Oh, that's right. I jumped the episode. Okay, well, then this gets a 3.5.
All right, a 3.5. That's why I'm going to wind up to a 3.5 for me, too. I mean, I Voyager is precious to me. It's my precious. And I didn't like seeing it kind of crapped on a bit. But be that as it may, we're going to wrap up this review. Thank you guys for listening, and we will have the next episode in the feed, which will cover I Have No Bones, Yet I Must Flee. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening to the Discussing Trek podcast. For more information, go to discussingtrek.com/subscribe.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.